the Sedra starts out, Eila Hadvarim Asher Dibar Moshe El Kol Yisrael. Rashi says that the word Dvarim always connotes harsh words, as opposed to Emor, Lemor, right, is soft words. So Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu here gave rebuked the Jewish people on all of the sins they did throughout the desert, but in respect for them, he only did it in a hint. He mentioned the places where they sinned, and sometimes he mentioned them in ways that hinted to the sin, and he didn't, specifically mention what the sins were, only hinted to the places out of respect for the Jewish people. The only problem is that immediately after this, the next few parshios go into great detail in about all these sins. So, So where's the respect for the Jewish people? If he hinted to it in the beginning and then went into great detail, what did it help to hint to begin with? Okay, before we answer that question, I want to mention a medrash and explain it, and then we'll get back to the original question. The medrash says like this: there were three people who were leaders of the Jewish people, and they saw the Jewish people at different periods in their history, and they all said Eicha. In this week's Sedra, Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Jewish people in their greatness, and he said, Eicha eso levadi, how can I carry you alone? Torchachem, masachem, verivchem. All your bother and your load and your fights. Can't do it alone. So he said, Eicha. And then there was Yeshayahu Anovi. He saw the Jewish people in their disgrace, in their sins. And he said, Eicha hoysa lezolna, how did you become like a harlot? And then Yirmiyahu saw them in their destruction, and he said, Eicha yoshva vadad, how do you sit alone? What's the meaning? So, thinking the idea is the following. The word Eicha, we'll see, has three different meanings. And each of these leaders saw the Jewish people at different periods in history, and Moshe Rabbeinu saw the roots of what, if they hadn't used these things in a good way, if they used them in a bad way, would come out to be sins, and eventually from sin comes destruction. So these three leaders saw the metamorphosis of these roots that existed by the Jewish people. They saw how they sprouted and how eventually they caused destruction. And they could have used these roots for the good, but they chose to use them for the bad. What were the roots of the sins that eventually turned to, the roots of bad roots of the Jewish people, not necessarily character traits, but things that were could be used as negative behavior? It wasn't necessarily bad, but if they didn't use them properly, they could be used for the negative or for the positive. What were those three things? Moshe Rabbeinu saw, Eicha eso levadi, how can I possibly carry you alone when you have these three bad qualities, or qualities that could be used for the bad? What are they? Torchachem, your bother. Rashi brings down, what did Moshe refer to? Said when two Jews had a court case together, right, and they were arguing over who's right, who deserves the money, whatever it may be. So when one of them saw that he was losing, he started to get more witnesses and asked to have more judges or whatever, and tried to get out of the judgment because he saw that he was going to lose. That's Tor Chachem. What is the root of that? That people aren't concerned with the truth. It was more important to them that they won than, and they were right, than what was right occurred. They weren't concerned with the truth. Okay. And therefore, the Ramban says that it refers to something else. Moshe Rabbeinu was referring to the tremendous bother, the tremendous difficulty it was to teach all these people Torah. If you put them together, they go very nicely. People who are concerned with the truth, it's easy to teach them Torah. But people who are more concerned with their own honor and their own benefit, and they want to be right, let alone to do what's right, they're more interested in being right than doing right, those kind of people, it's hard to teach them Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're the kind of people I saw within you, that you're not as interested in achieving the truth as you should be. And therefore it's difficult to teach you Torah. However, they could have used that midah for the good. Right? They could have used it not to be right, but to argue with each other and to put in tremendous bother and tremendous amount of effort into ascertaining what is true, what is right. They could have used that same quality of not, you know, taking it easy and doing everything in your power to be right, to not taking it easy and doing everything in your power to find out what is right. But they didn't. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw in that, Eicha, how could it be that you have this source, this root, that if you don't check it and you don't use it properly, you don't guide it in a proper way, it's going to sprout into something very, very negative. Second thing, Masachem. Rashi says that they used to look at Moshe Rabbeinu. If he got up early, they would say he got up early to what's it called, to plot against us. He's getting up early to think of things to do against us. If he came late, they would say, oh, he probably has problems in his house, Shalom Bayis problems or whatever, and therefore he can't get up early. He's what's it called, too many problems in his house. They didn't have Emunas Chachomim. Instead of looking and learning from Moshe Rabbeinu, which is good, it's good to observe a leader, but to observe him in a negative way, to judge your leaders too strictly, too intensely, is a very negative thing, because then they can't have any influence on you. Then you destroy any influence they could have on you. You don't accept them as leaders because you're too critical of them. That's what it said by the generation of Boaz. By Yehibi me shvot hashoftim. They used to judge their leaders too intensely, too critically. And because of that, everybody did what they wanted to do because they didn't respect the leaders. And every leader, every human being, is not perfect. So if you dote too much on and are too critical, then you take away the benefit you can have from those leaders. So Masachem means it was hard to carry you because you were so critical of me, and therefore the Ramban says, I couldn't daven for you. Right? It was very difficult to daven for you because davening is a relationship between a leader and the people. And if you don't create that relationship with me, it's hard for me to create it with you. And according to others, Moshe Rabbeinu said it was hard to support you in the desert, to get you the food and water that you needed. Right? You constantly were complaining because if we had a good relationship, then as a leader, I would have been able to channel all your material good, all your spiritual good through tefillah, right? It would have come naturally. But since you were so critical of me and you broke that relationship, it was hard for me to channel the physical and spiritual good to you through davening and through support. However, they could have used it for the good. I have a good friend, when we were learning in the yeshiva many, many years ago, we were learning the Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara brings down the following incident. One of the Rosh Yeshiva, one of the, Amoraim, the authors of the Gemara, used to carry the kala on his shoulders and dance with her. And the student said to him, can we do the same thing? So he said, if the kala is to you like carrying a log on your shoulders and nothing more, then you can do it too. But if when the kala is on your shoulders, you feel that something else is on your shoulders, not a log, then you can't do it. So this chaver, Leo Finkelstein, he's in Montreal now, in Kiruv. So he remarked, when we learned this, he said, look at the difference between people now and people then. He said, people now, if the Rosh Yeshiva put the kala on his shoulders, what would they do? They would say, how can he do such a thing? Right? How can he be so immodest? Then they didn't ask a question on him. If he did it, we understand that he had a reason to do it, and we trust that he knows what he's doing. The only question they ask is, can we also do it? That was the question, not how he could do it. Today, nobody would ask, could we do it? The question is, how could he do it? Difference in how people look at their teachers and look at their leaders. So that was the second root of destruction that Moshe saw. Eicha, how? How could you have these roots? And I'm concerned that they don't come out to something bad, and therefore I need a lot of help to guide you. Hopefully we'll guide these roots in a positive way. What was the third thing? Rivchem. They used to fight with each other. Everybody had a little complaint. They took them to Beis Din. Immediately there were everything, every little thing became a big issue. And there was no achdus. There was no unity amongst the people. Everything was a machlokus. Okay? That could have been used for the good too. And the Ramban says that, and it was difficult therefore to make wars for you, to take you out into battle. Because the Gemara says that when the Jewish people are united, even if they're serving idolatry, they go out to battle and win. The unity is a tremendous power in winning wars against enemies. And when they weren't unified, even though they were very big tzaddikim, but they weren't unified, then they lost in battle. So it fits together. Because every little thing, you're making fights, there's no unity, then I have a hard time taking you out into battle and being victorious. It's a tremendous fight. And could have been used for the good. How? When you fight over the truth, machlokas l'shem shamayim, to argue not again that everybody should be right, but what is right? And we argue about it. We argue it out. That's all of learning in a Beis Medrash. People fighting with each other. The war of Torah. This one says his ideas, the other one counters with his ideas. They ask questions on each other. It's a debate, like a war. But it says that kind of debate and war, since everybody's fighting with each other, not against each other. It's not, I want to be right. I want to know what's right. So we're fighting it out. Right? In the end, that brings to tremendous love. That's Vahed Basufa. Even a father and a son, a Rebbe and a Talmud, can fight it out. But in the end, they get much closer to each other because they're fighting with each other. So that idea of everybody wanting to exert their opinion and fight it out is good. But when it's for personal gain, then it's no good. When it's for what's the truth, right? What's the real idea of Torah? And you fight it out, that's fine. That leads to greater unity. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Jewish people when they were great, but he saw these shortcomings, these roots that if they weren't guided properly could come out to be bad, if they were guided properly could be used for the good. And he said, Eicha, how can I alone carry you when I see these roots? And therefore maybe you need a lot more people involved to help guide and mold and shape these things for the good. However, they didn't guide and shape them for the good, and they used them for the bad, and therefore they came to the next stage. From those roots sprouted sins. If you don't take those roots, those behavior, and guide it for the good, then inevitably you're going to use it for the bad. If you use it for the bad, you're going to sin. And that was the next stage of history, where Yeshayahu HaNavi came and he said, Eicha also, right? He said, Eicha with a different meaning. Eicha can also mean Ayeka. When Adam HaRishon sinned, God said to him, where are you? Where could you have been, and where are you because of the sin? Right? What kind of person are you? Before a person sins, we know who he is. We know what his identity is. Once he sins, we have to ascertain who are you really? Right? What are you? Right? Obviously, you've changed. Ayeka, where are you holding? So, Yeshayahu saw them in their disgrace, in their sinning. And he said, Eicha hoysa lezona, how could you have become like a harlot? And what does that mean? A harlot is a euphemism for immorality and for idolatry. Because going after strange gods is just like a woman going after men who are not her husband. Like the Jewish people are like married to God. And worshipping strange gods is like spiritual adultery. So Eicha hoysa lezona means that they didn't have any faithfulness. They were unfaithful. Unfaithful to God. They were unfaithful to their spouses. And because of that, they were unfaithful to the leaders too. They couldn't follow a leader. Because the same way that you follow God and the same way that you're faithful to another human being is the same faithfulness that you need to have to a leader. Both him being the representative of God and him being that physical person that's responsible for you. And if you're not faithful to your spouse, you're not faithful to leaders either. And if you're not faithful to God, you're not faithful to the leaders who represent God. So that root of being unfaithful, of being too critical of the leaders, came out to be unfaithful to their spouses, unfaithful to God, and they served idolatry. And then it says the second sin, the next sin, Malayasi Mishpat Sadik Yolimba. You used to be people who learned Torah day and night. And what's it called? You were people who sought the truth, and now you're murderers. You're not interested in the truth anymore. You're interested in being right to the point where you're willing to kill somebody else so you should be right. And also, you've sinned with murder. Right? So these are all the roots that we said before. Their unfaithfulness came from the root of being too critical of Moshe Rabbeinu, Masachem. The fact that they were people who learned Torah day and night, who were interested in the truth, not in being right, but in what was right, was changed now into being murderers. Because when you're interested in being right, you'll stop at nothing, even murder. And the sin of murder. So what were the four sins that they had that destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash that Yeshayahu was talking about? Gili Arayah, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah. Those are the three sins that are mentioned here. Immorality and idolatry and murder and Bittul Torah and not learning Torah or not learning it properly. Not learning it to know what's true, but learning it to be right. Those were the four sins that are represented, and they were the result of the roots that Moshe Rabbeinu saw. They all sprouted from those roots. And that's the second meaning of Eicha Ayeka. Where are you? What have you come to? What have you let those roots develop into and make you into the kind of people that you are? And from that, when people sin, then they bring destruction on themselves. And that was the third stage. That's where Yirmiyahu saw them in their destruction. And he also said Eicha. Eicha has a third meaning. Eicha is Eiko. Where is the words Ko? Three times God said Ko. Ko Yezarecha. He said to Avraham Avinu, this is the way your children will be, like the stars and the sand on the... Where is the Ko? Eicha Yashva Vadad. You sit alone. You used to be a lot of people. Now you're where's the Ko Yezarecha? Where is the promise that you're going to be multitudes? Where is that? What happened to you? What caused that? All the sins that you did, which were the result of those roots that Moshe Rabbeinu saw. and the second ko was kosomar leves Yaakov, the giving of the Torah. The Jewish people were told that I took you out of Egypt, I carried you on the wings of eagles, you can be a mamleches kohanim, an empire of kohanim, and a holy nation. This is what you could have been. Where's that ko? Kosomar leves Yaakov. How have you degraded yourselves? We'll get to the degradation in a second. And the third ko is kosavorchus bnei Israel, that the kohanim bless the Jewish people with birkas kohanim, yivarechecha. Where's that blessing? So a ko, right? Echa, Moshe Rabbeinu said, how could you have these negative things? What can we do with them? Yeshayahu saw Ayeko, where have you come to by not controlling these things? And Yirmiyahu said, what's happened to you? Right? Where is the promises of greatness that you could have had? Look what you've turned it into. So, and what was that? Echa yoshva vadot. So it says there's two kinds of being alone, being insulated from the world. One is insulation. The Jewish people are great. The nations of the world look up to us. Vayishkon Yisrael betach badad. We dwell in security alone. Or am levadad yishkon. We're a nation that dwells apart, alone. Not isolated from the world, but insulated. And that way we can develop our tremendous greatness insulated from the rest of the world. That's called yishkon. We dwell. Because it has the hint of the Shechina. We're not alone. God's with us. God is with us, but we're apart. We're insulated because of that godliness from the rest of the world. Here it says, Echa Yoshva Vadad. Not Yishkon. God isn't with us. God also abandoned us. God also left us. The Shechina left us. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And we are sitting alone. We're not dwelling alone. We're sitting alone, mamish, isolated from the rest of the world, in diminished, isolated. And what happened? Yoshva Vadad Ho'ir Rabosion. We used to be multitudes. Ko Yezarecha, your children will be like the sand at the sea and the stars in the sky. And now you're diminished. Diminished qualitatively and quantitatively. Right? And that is the result of not having Achdus. If you can't be united, then you're going to be diminished. And the second thing is, Rabosi Bagoyim Kalmona. We don't have the Shechina, we don't have Nevuah, right? There's no Emes. We don't have a Navi to tell us the truth. We don't have the Shechina, the Beis HaMikdash amongst us. We're missing truth. That's the opposite of that root, that there weren't people who sought the truth. They only sought to be right. And lastly, Sarasi Bamedinos. We don't have Kohanim. We don't have kings. We used to be the leaders of the world. People followed us. They looked up to us. They were inspired by us. Our Kohanim were leaders. Our kings were leaders. And now, because we didn't have the proper connection to our leaders, we didn't respect them. We were too critical of them, right? And therefore, what's it called? What came to the end was, we lost our ability to lead the nations of the world. And we were Sarasi Bamedinos Hoysalamas. We were people who paid tributary to others instead of others following us and looking up to us. So we lost our Kahuna and Malchus. We lost our ability to lead because of the root of being too critical of our leaders, which came out to be that we weren't faithful, not to God, not to our spouses, not to our leaders. And because we, what's it called, didn't seek the truth. We sought only to be right. That was the root. It came out that, what's it called, that instead of learning Torah day and night, we gave that up because we weren't interested in putting in the effort to find out the truth. We only wanted to be right, so we ended up murdering each other. And in place of, what's it called, of having achdus and unity, we ended up being dispersed and diminished. And the sin that led to was murder, the ultimate disunity, killing each other. And that came from that root of constantly bickering and fighting and not working together, but working against each other. Now, based on this, comes out that all of the destruction, all the eichas, start with the foundation, the roots of sin. The sins themselves are already a second stage. They're not the first stage. The first stage is that you have some essential bad character, bad behavior. That's not sins. But if you don't guide it and control it and use it properly, it's going to lead to sin. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he rebuked us about the actual sins, and people sin, people do things wrong, but that's not an insult, because everybody, nobody's perfect. So to tell somebody you did this wrong, you did that wrong, it's not insulting them because you're not speaking about their essence. But to tell people there's something intrinsically wrong with you, and because of that, these sins came about, that's insulting. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu first rebuked the Jewish people not on their individual sins, but he hinted to them that there was something wrong with them throughout their time in the desert. And if you think about it, I'll tell you what there it says, and you'll see that it's exactly these things. Moshe Rabbeinu said the following: from the time I know you, from Bamidbar, from the time you entered the desert, till Ba'arava, till you left the desert, right? You were sinning. That means these sins were not just incidental things that happened to happen. It's a pattern. It's your entirety, right? There's something wrong with you. And therefore he didn't say it outright, because that would be insulting to the Jewish people intrinsically. So he only hinted. What was the hint? What's wrong with you? Let me tell you. First thing. The first thing he said was, Molsuf. Again, your sins span the entire time in the desert, from Bamidbar till Ba'arava, from the beginning till the end. So it's not just incidental, it's not just incidents that I'm going to speak about, it's your essence. Something is wrong that needs to be controlled. You could use it for the good, but you have to know that it's there and has to be molded properly. What are they? First thing, Molsuf. The sins that you committed by Yamsuf represented the fact that you didn't have any unity. What happened by Yamsuf? They split into three or five different groups of what to do. Some people said, let's go back to Egypt. Some people said, let's fight the Egyptians. Some people said, let's give in to them. Some people said, let's jump into the sea. All different opinions. They couldn't get together. They didn't have unity, right, when they were faced with a tzara. Had they unified, it would have been a different story. There's a beautiful medrash. The Medrash says that when God created the sea, so the sand at the seashore were afraid. The waves were coming. They said, we can't stand up against these waves. We're just little grains of sand. We're going to be wiped away. Right? The first wave that ever hit the seashore. And the angel that represented these grains of sand said, don't worry. You'll know what to do when the wave hits. And you won't be washed away. They said, we don't. And the wave got closer and closer, finally was over them, and they all huddled together and held each other tight, and the wave hit and didn't affect them. When the grains of sand are cohesive, they stick together, then they form a beachhead against the waves, and they're not washed away. But if they would be each one separate, every separate grain of sand, the waves would wash them away. Same thing. If by the Yamsuf, had you gathered together, right, and united, there wouldn't have been a problem. But because you were disunited, this one said this way, this way said this way, everybody had their own ideas. You didn't, right, then you were afraid that the sea was going to, or the Egyptians were going to overwhelm you. Had you united, it would have been a different story. So that was the first sin. Exactly what was that? The root of disunity. Okay, second sin. Bein Paran uvein Tophel. In Paran, that was the machlokas of Korach. They didn't have faith in Moshe and Aaron as leaders. They rebelled against their leadership. And Tophel is that they complained about the man. Okay, no, just the opposite. Paran was the Chet HaMeraglim. The sin of the spies was in Paran. And they complained about the man. What is that? They weren't truthful. They weren't interested in the truth. They followed the spies of a lie, and they made up lies against the man. they complained about the man instead of appreciating the beauty and the greatness of the food that God gave them, the food that angels eat. They made up things against the man of how terrible it was. So they weren't people who were interested in the truth. They followed the spies' lies, and they made up lies against the man. So that was the root of not being concerned about what's true, but being right. We want to be right. We're not interested in what's right, but we want to be right. That was the second root. And the third ones, Chatzeros and Dizahav. Chatzeros was Korach. They rebelled against the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. And Dizahav is they distorted the leadership of Moshe. They thought Moshe wasn't coming back. And instead of picking a leader that would be proper, they picked a golden calf to take the place of Moshe. So this was a distortion of leadership and a rebellion against leadership, which was the other root. What were the three roots that we said? That they didn't trust Moshe Rabbeinu, they're too critical. They didn't have that emunas chachamim, that trust and faith in their leaders. They weren't unified, and they were not concerned about truth and right. They were concerned more about being right. Those are the three sources, and those are exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu hinted to them by these places. But because he wasn't rebuking them about actions, he was rebuking them about essence, about qualities, that was more insulting. There he had to do it by what's it called, in hint. Later on, when he rebuked them of actions, actual sins, that's not something that's so insulting. Everybody can sin. Everybody does things wrong. Right? We're not perfect. But to say that the Jewish people have these roots of behavioral problems, right, attitude problems, that already is insulting, therefore he only hinted to it. And that's why these are the things that we have to correct. And it says, what will turn Tisha B'Av into a Yontif, as well as Shivas Rabba Tammuz, and what's it called, Asar B'Teves, and Tzom Gedalia, when Ho'emes the Hashalom Yehov, when we love truth and peace. Peace is unity. Truth is we want to know what's right, what's true, not being right. Okay? And in order to do that, you need to follow your leaders. You need to have faith in your leaders, not to be too critical and do whatever you want. You have to be able to be guided. So in order for the shalom and the emes to happen, we have to have emunas chachamim and faith in our leaders and follow them, that they can lead us to unity, unify us, and teach us what's true. Not that we should be right, but we should know what's right. So those are the three things that Moshe Rabbeinu already saw with his Eicha that eventually came out to be the sins that led to the destruction, and therefore the undoing of that destruction will be when we correct all those three things. And we have Emes and Shalom, and the only way to have Emes and Shalom is if we have faith in our leaders. And those are the things that eventually will turn Tisha B'Av into being a yontif of Sason and Simcha, not of mourning, but of rejoicing. Okay, 1 second, let me just... Yes.
Like, I don't know, my repertoire voice is that people have to have a truth radar.
That what?
That a person has to have a truth radar.
Right.
To have to put down that and not be critical.
There's a difference between being critical and saying that, you know, you're no good, or, like we said, to analyze what a leader does in a positive way, in what can I learn from that, and if I don't understand why he did that, ask him, speak it over with him. Don't stand from afar and draw conclusions. But see what you can learn. The leader is somebody you can be inspired by, you can learn from. So, look at it in a positive way.
Even though I'm sure anybody here on the
civilian
is
more
greater than me, I found
that
what? Then he was holding a woman that wasn't.
Okay, so that's so that. Therefore, the way to do it is to go to him and say, "Is this okay? Why is it okay? Right? What do you have to think of when you do such a thing?" right, to assume that what he's doing, give him the benefit of the doubt, that what he's doing is okay. He knows it happens to be okay. But I don't understand, so could you explain to me why it's okay, and therefore, could I do it too?
It was, of course.
Yeah, for him it was okay. Because for him, the kala, he was mekayim a mitzvah of simchas kala, and to him the kala was mamish like a lot. No, the isser is having some physical contact in a way that is endearing. But if it's physical contact, like you'd have the same physical contact with a log, it's okay.